Welcome back to Via the Source, where you can get news about the entire NFL and, of course, the Miami Dolphins. Fins up, here's Steven, your host.
What's up, guys? Today's date is Thursday, February 7th. I'm Steven Masso, and as always, you're listening to Via the Source. In this episode, I'm going to be discussing my thoughts on the Super Bowl. I never had an opportunity to really elaborate on my thoughts about that game. If you follow me on Twitter, you saw my tweets about it, but I do want to discuss it a little bit here. Brian Flores was introduced as a Miami Dolphins head coach. I want to discuss what I thought about that. And it appears that the Dolphins are striving to kind of build a Patriots sort of atmosphere on the team, in the locker room, and of course on the staff. So I do want to discuss what that means, I think, for some of the roster moves that will be made. So to start it off, the Super Bowl, it was about as defensive as an outing as there can be in the Super Bowl. Of course, that is very indicative of how good Brian Flores was. And then, of course, the mastermind that is Bill Belichick. The Patriots won this game, and they won it, I want to say, very defensively. The MVP went to Julian Edelman, which was pretty deserving. But if I had to pick, I would have said the MVP of this game was Stephon Gilmore. He had a tremendous outing. He was Pro Football Focus' number one corner on the season. He dominated the entire season. He did well against Miami. He was a guy who was truly having a breakout season this year, and I think he deserved that Super Bowl MVP as well. But like I said, it was a defensive outing, and it was also kind of poorly played by both offenses. It was kind of painful to watch Jared Goff struggle on third down. A lot of it was because of these very unique blitzes that the Patriots were sending, very similar to the AFC Championship game. It was truly a creative game plan put together by Coach Belichick and Coach Brian Flores from a defensive standpoint. But like I said, there was a pain to watch the Rams offense, and it was also kind of painful to watch the Patriots offense as well. Now, Tom Brady, he looked serviceable. He looked very good in the regular season. There was no doubting that. But in the playoffs, that kind of cliff that everyone seems to mention when it comes to his age, I think kind of started to show itself. And I said that I would be shocked if he played next season. The next day, naturally, an interview comes out where he says he wants to play till he's 45 and that there's 0% chance this is his last game. Well, that cliff that people talk about kind of started to reveal itself, I think, in this game, because his touch passes were still there. He was still getting good distance on the ball. But when it came to those out routes, he didn't have much velocity to it. There were some plays where he threw the ball, and I kind of had to watch because it was a duck. I was like, okay, maybe that was tipped at the line. I would rewind it, but no, that was just the throw he made. So it really seemed like he struggled to get a very good velocity on a lot of his throws. So keep that in mind, because I think that was the main issue when it came to Peyton Manning in that last season where he truly did struggle. He was one of the worst quarterbacks in the NFL that last season where he won the Super Bowl. So I know personally, I'm still not ruling out Tom Brady riding off into the sunset, especially after that performance, but everything that he says that he will continue playing. So we will have to see how that pans out. Now, when it comes to the Super Bowl, a lot of people were complaining that this game was boring, and then you kind of had this small crowd of people saying that, you know, this was the type of game they love. They love defensive outings, and if you're not enjoying this football game, then you are not a true fan of football. That's kind of what Dez Bryant tweeted. And where do I fall on this? I'm not going to knock someone if they say they enjoyed the game. It really was a really good defensive showcase, but like I said, there were also times where it was really painful to watch both offenses in that game. At times, it did feel like I was kind of watching like a Jets-Dolphins game of this season, where it was just a battle of two inefficient offenses. So in that sense, I do think the game, in some senses, was boring. Now, I'm not going to knock the NFL. I am not going to say that, oh, they put out a poor product, because that's just the flow that this game had. They had no control over it. I don't want them to go out and start telling the refs, you know, to spice it up. No, I'm cool with how this game flowed, but I will say it was a little boring, and I would be lying if I said that it wasn't. Now, I can appreciate a good defensive game, but it seems like every season the NFL progresses more into a state where it's harder to root for a defensive game just because of the limitations that are put on defensive players. Like, I think the people who typically say they like the defensive games are people who've been watching the NFL for a longer period of time. And I know I would personally love a good defensive game if there were still guys like Ed Reed laying people out and Sean Taylor and Ray Lewis. You know, I never got to see as much Lawrence Taylor, but man, if I got to see Lawrence Taylor without all the rules and it was being as physical as it was back then I would truly appreciate appreciate a defensive game. If I saw defensive backs being able to battle with the receiver without being called for penalties, I would love defensive games. But there are so many rules. Rex Burkhead got hit once. It looked so clean. They called a penalty. And those are just kind of examples of the rules that kind of make it hard to appreciate a defensive game. And I'm not saying that it's a bad thing because the NFL is striving for safety, and I applaud that. But at the same time, it really does make it hard to root for a defensive game because they're kind of playing restricted, and there's not much to applaud. It's just kind of a showcase of all these arm tackles, and I don't even know how to describe it, just a clean performance. That's how it is when you watch a good defensive performance. It's not that gritty, gridiron type of feel when we thought of defensive games. It's not typically that. So that is my main issue with the whole argument that defensive games are just as entertaining. I think that if you said that years ago, there was a better argument for it, but now I just do think that at times it just there's not as much to root for from a defensive standpoint just because of the rules that are in place. And of course, that's just my opinion on it. If you disagree, you're completely entitled to your belief. That's just how I approach this issue. Now, Brian Flores, shortly after, within 24 hours of the win, was already in Miami for the press conference. He was officially announced as Miami Dolphins head coach. And, you know, people are digging through the quotes of his interview. It's kind of basically what everyone was expecting of him. It showcased how good of a person he is. He seems about as genuine as you can be. He is fairly well spoken. I know a lot of people on Twitter were criticizing him a lot because he said quite frequently. And when I watched his interviews, I thought about mentioning it, but you know, I was like kind of like, that's too much. You know, if I'm really picking apart his ability to speak, I think that's kind of too much of a reach. And I think the more he gets into a position where he gets to speak, the better he will get. I mean, even when I started this podcast, if you listen to the first episodes, I said quite a bit more than I do now. It's just something that you get better at as you get more comfortable speaking. And that's just how it goes. So I wouldn't knock him too much for that. But like I said, it was kind of just what we were all expecting. From a football standpoint, there isn't really much that we didn't expect. He did say there was some pain in his times with New England. So there will be some pains to be expected with this Miami team. That was when they asked about tanking. So to me, that is saying that he is acknowledging that it may not be a perfect season. And it's foolish to think there would be a perfect season. So he isn't ruling out the possibility of a tank. Now, I don't expect him to go out there and say that they are going to tank, but I do think there will be decisions made that could benefit a team in 2020 more than they would benefit a team in 2019. So I don't think that means he will approach it differently. He won't be putting the team in a position to lose, but the roster won't be at its peak in 2019 as compared to 2020. I just think that is a general idea we are getting from this Miami Dolphins team. Now, there are plenty of former members of the Patriots now on this Miami Dolphins staff, and that is very interesting to me because it seems like they are trying to adapt kind of this Patriots mentality of how to build a roster, and that could affect guys like Kenyon Drake or affect guys like Xavien Howard, and that is one example that I'm seeing thrown around a lot because Stephon Gilmore is one of the highest paid cornerbacks in the NFL, and of course he had one of the best seasons for the New England Patriots, so a lot of people are trying to make that comparison that, you know, hey, if the Patriots paid a guy like Stephon Gilmore that much, then that means the Dolphins will pay Xavien Howard that much. It only makes sense. That's what the Patriots did. That's what the Dolphins will do. Well, I'm not 100% willing to say that that is what will happen because there's another guy that I don't think people are mentioning enough that used to play for the Patriots, and that's Malcolm Butler, their Super Bowl hero. Malcolm Butler, as we all know, basically won the game for the Patriots. Brian Flores actually subs him in. He comes in the game. He gets that clutch interception on one of the final plays against the Seahawks, seals the game. Well, the following season, Malcolm Butler goes on to make the Pro Bowl, so he has another good season after being the Super Bowl hero. And then the following season, after that, he is a second team All-Pro and has one of the best seasons of his career. So what do the Patriots do? They must have extended him, right? After being the Super Bowl hero, a Pro Bowler, a second team All-Pro, they have to extend him, right? No, what the Patriots did was they went out and they signed Bills cornerback Stephon Gilmore and made him one of the highest paid cornerbacks in the NFL. So that was a major plot twist. The season when Stephon Gilmore and Malcolm Butler were now on the same team, Malcolm Butler's performance went down. The Patriots even benched him during the Super Bowl, which was heavily criticized. And then when Butler's payday came, the Patriots said, hey, you're gone. The Tennessee Titans gave him a huge offer, and he became one of the higher paid cornerbacks for the Tennessee Titans. So I don't think it is necessarily a lock yet that you can say, hey, they got Stephon Gilmore, he is paid high, they're going to want to stick with him. Because here are the Patriots not even sticking with their guy, their Super Bowl champion, a guy got to that level of play that he was considered one of the top in the league. They elected not to extend him. So I think Dolphin fans, we are more accustomed to being loyal to our players. I think the Patriots fans are kind of used to this unpredictableness that the Patriots have always had when it comes to some of their star players. Like I mentioned, Jamie Collins, Malcolm Butler. I think Patriots fans know not to get too attached. Like, it's Game of Thrones. You don't get too attached to a character because they can be killed off in the next episode. I think that's the same way Patriots fans looked at their roster of every guy not named Brady and every guy not named Gronkowski. So I think if the Dolphins are approaching this the same way, if they're trying to get this Patriots atmosphere when they're building a roster, that is something that Dolphin fans will have to maybe get a little used to, this kind of unpredictableness of who gets signed and who doesn't. Because picture that for a second, Dolphin fans. Picture the Dolphins in the Super Bowl. Xavien Howard comes in, he makes the clutch interception, he saves the game. Following season, Pro Bowl. Following season after that, his best season, second team, all pro. They don't extend him. They go and extend someone else, like Tre'Davious White, a cornerback in the same division, instead of your guy. Just picture that. I don't think that's something that most Dolphin fans can even fathom, because it doesn't show any loyalty to the guy that you drafted, to the guy that you put in that position to succeed. And frankly, that's what it looks like when I look at this Malcolm Butler situation. It was a very risky type of move, but one that you look at now in hindsight and it makes sense. It was the better move for them to do that. Now, of course, I'm not saying this to say that I don't want Xavien Howard to get signed. I would love for him to get an extension. I think he is one of the better cornerbacks in the NFL. And I'm also not saying this to say that I don't think the Dolphins will do that. I'm just saying this rather to point out that the Patriots have been a team that have been unpredictable. They have been so frugal when it comes to paying their top guys. Look at Deion Lewis. He was about as perfect as a running back for the New England Patriots as you could ask for. He was great as a receiving back. He ran terrific in between the tackles, and he was absolutely incredible as a special teams player. Yet his payday came. The Patriots didn't even trip. They said, hey man, we're not going to do it. And he was gone. So I'm just saying that if the Dolphins are truly going to kind of adopt this Patriots mindset, then that is something that you may have to be ready for. It won't always make sense. People were really criticizing Belichick in the Jamie Collins situation. One bad game, Belichick benches him, ships him off to Cleveland. And then you know what? The Patriots are in the Super Bowl the next year. So things didn't always make sense, but it was for the betterment of the roster. And that is how I'm going to wrap up this episode, guys. As always, I would love to hear you guys' thoughts. You can follow me on Twitter. That is at Shady Steven. You can follow the podcast. That is at Via The Source. And I want to give a quick shout out to someone named Devin_Dolphin on Twitter. He said, hey, short but sweet latest podcast. Some great points were made, and it was a good listen. I don't always agree, but it would be a boring world if we did. And I think that has a tremendous amount of value. It sounds like such a simple thing, but it truly does mean a lot to me, because that's something I say at the end of the episode. If you disagree, I would love to hear you guys' thoughts on it. I'm not going to knock you for it. I know a lot of people on Twitter who have very powerful voices out there are so caught up in their own opinion that they will be demeaning to their own audience just to kind of pad their own ego. And I think that's ridiculous. I would never do that. Love to hear you guys' thoughts. As always, again, you can follow me on Twitter at Shady Steven, at Via The Source. That's how I'm going to wrap it up, guys. Until next time, I'm Steven Masso, and this was Via The Source.